Welcome to Apple at Work, the podcast all about Apple and the enterprise. My name is Bradley Chambers, your host. Back on the show for our WWDC wrap-up is our friend Alcir from Mosul. Alcir, welcome back to Apple at Work.
Hey, Bradley. Good talk to you again. Thanks for having me again.
It's always fun to recap WWDC from the enterprise perspective. We won't really dive into all the things that are affecting end users. Lots of little things that are coming to macOS, iOS, and iPadOS this year, along with VisionOS and WatchOS. Like, it's a really, really exciting year. Lots of just nice customizations, but there's always a lot of things that Apple IT managers have to know. I mean, so you kind of come at it from two perspectives. If you manage an Apple fleet, like, hey, what's actually changing for my end users? Like, what training needs to happen? But then also, like, what's changing the way we manage devices? What new features are we getting? Before we have a list of things we want to talk about, but what was your general take on WWDC? Anything you're really excited about? Just high level, what was your reaction?
Yeah, I believe everyone was excited about Apple Intelligence, and I believe that brings so much to our mind and really understand, because it moves this device that we already know for years now that we all have on our pockets, and it creates a totally new dimension to it. So, like, how will be to use an iPhone as part of a business 5 years from now? Like, and the power of this AI, and I love the fact that Apple is really the only provider who can bring out the power of the AI, but still give us this ultra high level of privacy and information control. What, in the end of the day, at least in my opinion, is one of the main concerns around AI now. It demands so much data, demands so much information to be able to be effective. And that includes information that we are not sure where it's coming from. Every time we interact with it, we are not sure if that information is being used or not. So having that running on our device locally, for me, it's like a next level. So I really can't wait to have that all the time available.
And one of the things as I was recapping the event, I was thinking through, like, okay, what is, like, this is step one, what is step nine? And obviously Apple had the announcement with OpenAI where there's Apple Intelligence on device, but then it can call OpenAI and use their LLM. Yeah. But Apple has made it very clear that, like, this isn't like the only provider they're going to work with. Like, they kind of said, like, they kind of indicated, like, hey, more is coming here, and we're excited to partner with other people. And where I'm thinking, it's like, okay, is it possible for business customers, as businesses sort of build their own LLM behind the scenes, large language models. Yeah. So let's say, for example, I'm an attorney, and my company has really invested in a company specific LLM, and we're building, and it's coming to all of our applications.
Yeah.
It's going to be completely possible to tie in your company's LLM into your device locally. So it can work locally, and then it can call your company's specific, API to access the data that your company is sort of having. So again, if you're messaging clients, you'll be able to, kind of ensure that, it's on brand. There's just a lot of things exciting there that as companies start to build their own thing, it's not just going to be like, hey, the big three tech companies, AI models. It's like, and again, this is speculation, but it could be, you add in your own specific company LLM.
Yeah. And then you also bring the possibility of shopping for the best provider, even if you're not building your own large language model, but giving or trying to use the same example as you did. You are a law firm, and now there are like five different AI-based solutions that are providing that kind of service. And just the fact that you can choose one, but still run that and use that in a very integrated way with your device of choice, that would be amazing. And I believe that will help to level competition and do not create like a very strong control of this phenomenal technology by someone or by a specific company.
It's really, you start thinking as companies partner with specific providers, there's a lot of exciting things that can happen there. But there's also a number of exciting announcements that are, maybe not like, I'm trying to think of the best way to say it. Like, these weren't like things that were like must have on IT manager wish list. But like when I look at every announcement that Apple made that affects businesses, I'm like, okay, that's helpful. Like it's an entire list of very, very helpful things. And I think it shows also maturity of Apple's platform and how businesses manage it. So we're going to start with activation lock. And this doesn't affect MDM specifically, but this more affects Apple Business Manager and Apple School Manager. So the news here is that if you have a device that's owned by the organization, whether that's a Mac, an iPad, and it has activation lock turned on either through a user or device-based lock, like you can now, instead of having to call Apple, hey, here's my receipt, and them unlocking it, you can now turn off activation lock from Apple Business Manager, Apple School Manager.
Yeah.
What was your take here? Is this something that your clients were having to deal with day in and day out?
Oh, yeah, for years. Like we have countless stories about that. And in some moments, the device was not being properly managed. So you probably have, I don't know, it's not that common anymore, but in the past you had a company or schools letting users to manually enroll, and then they would put the device in activation lock and it would be locked for a long time, or even on the MDM side with the API having some connection issues or removing the device from the MDM. So while the device was still locked, that could create issues in terms of accessing the device, and the process to get that released was a little bit complicated. You had to interact with AppleCare, and based on my understanding, there was a proper validation of ownership. And it makes all the sense, right? If Apple Business Manager, Apple School Manager is this place where you have all device that you own and that ownership was already validated, or because you acquired that from Apple or an official reseller, or because you could have physical access to that device and using a Apple Configurator or using apps like our agent app, you could move that to your Apple Business Manager account and School Manager account and keep it there for a period of time. That gives this ownership proof. So why not enable the companies and schools to take other actions on top of that? So I believe that was a great thing. It's amazing to see Apple Business Manager and Apple School Manager growing and starting to add more functionality. So if you look since the beginning, there was more like a hub where device would go just to sit there and users, and then like any action will be performed outside of it. And it's nice to see now that Apple is building a layer of actions inside of Apple Business Manager as well.
Yeah, I always love to see enhancements here that it's not a aspect of their deployment that's it's being left alone. And again, this is not a problem that wasn't previously solvable, but you just never want to be in a situation where like I got to call Apple to get access.
It was not as easy as click of a button,
right?
So yeah, I believe that's
It wasn't a scalable process at all. So next up on the list, Vision Pro gains zero touch deployment, and this is pretty exciting too.
This is
because we're still experimenting here with what Vision Pro looks like in the enterprise and education, but this is a key part of it. So now if you get to a place where you're deploying this for actual business use, it's now part of your deployment process. As on top of that, a lot of the functionality that you could do on iOS and iPadOS, some of the configuration profiles and the flags you could turn on is now possible in Vision Pro. So what's your thoughts here?
Yeah, so the ADE for Vision Pro, for me, it's the most important thing if we talk about Vision Pro on enterprise and education. We all know that everything or almost everything that really matters in terms of management, policies, compliance for IT related to their Apple device today is behind a supervision wall. So you need to have that supervised status on the device to have proper management. And AD brings that. So with that, so much more came and Apple could introduce a lot of new profiles, a lot of new commands, a lot of new restrictions mainly. So Vision Pro went from initial user-based enrollment and management to almost like an iPad, iPhone-like level of management in what, like 4 months since we had the release, 5 months? So it is phenomenal. And I believe this is basically the step that just makes Vision Pro a very, very strong device for enterprise. Now they can really handle it as they handle all the other devices. And I believe they can enforce a proper level of control management, automation, and compliance on those devices. And I believe it will now unlock so many opportunities for companies to use them.
Yeah, where it, before it was like, oh, we don't know. We've got to maybe figure out how we're going to use Vision Pro at work and if we're going to. Oh, but even if we found a place, we don't have the right management. So Apple's basically eliminated that management problem. And again, this is largely the benefit of Apple's kind of core being built upon the same thing. It was easy to add. And now they can just focus on, hey, now that you can manage it much the same way, figure out your use cases. We'll see where it goes. Next up on the list is some enhancements to platform single sign-on. And this is where Apple and its partners in the identity provider market, you can kind of customize that macOS login screen. Well, now it can do things like file vault unlock with as part of that. What's your take here? Is platform SSO something that you're seeing a lot of use cases of?
We are not seeing yet a lot of use case because I believe we still need to see more commitment from IDP providers and build their tools to work properly with platform single sign-on. But what I do see right now is a very, very mature product on the Apple side. So if you just get the platform single sign-on and then you look to products like Mozilla Auth or other, I believe there's other two or three solutions on the market that compete with us on that. We are probably offering, among other things, two main functionalities, and one is the convenience and the other one is the security. So convenience is I can get my Mac and I can authenticate with my IDP credentials. So if my company is using Microsoft for email, that is the same login that I'll use on my Mac, and that adds a lot of convenience. But we were also exploring the security part of that. So hey, if you cannot go through that IDP that's normally the centralized identity hub for the company, you cannot have access to the device. So if someone stole the device or if the device was lost, that added a very nice level of protection, especially around the internet. So if you are requesting IDP authentication, it basically means the device must be online. So if we go back, I don't know, 10 years, that would be a problem. Today, I really don't believe it's a problem. We have internet everywhere. And what that does, if you force the internet to authenticate on the device, you're also enabling the device to communicate with the MDM. So if the device was lost, if the device was stolen, everything else in terms of commands would be applied just because of that trigger that the requirement for IDP authentication creates. So the first version of platform single sign-on was really addressing that convenience part, but do not addressing this second layer of security. And what I can see this year is it's the IDP authentication coming and giving customers flexibility about where and how to use it. Configurations about what happens when the device is offline. So that creates a very, very, very powerful tool for identity management on the Mac that it's quite unique. And now it's just about checking what IDP providers will do and how fast and how deep they will support it.
This episode of Apple at Work is sponsored by Mozilla. Deploying, managing, and protecting Apple devices at work shouldn't be difficult or require several solutions. Mozilla is the only Apple unified platform for business. By combining enhanced device management, endpoint security, internet privacy and security, single sign-on, and enhanced app management into a single Apple-only platform. Businesses can now easily and automatically deploy, manage, protect their Apple devices automatically with one solution at an affordable price. With a solution for every business size and the best support in the market, start a free 30-day trial and see firsthand why Mozilla is more than an Apple MDM. Mozilla is everything you need to work with Apple. To learn more, visit business.mozilla.com. That's business.mozilla.com. Thanks to Mozilla for sponsoring Apple at Work this week.
Yeah, it's I do feel like identity is so critical in the enterprise for scaling up, and from a security perspective, it's even better. You know, it just eliminates one more password that you have to manage. So, look to continue to see what happens here, and obviously, things like Apple Watch Unlock and Touch ID are also pretty critical here as well. But next up on the list are some changes to Apple IDs. Now, obviously, managed Apple IDs have been around for a number of years, but now they're being rebranded to managed Apple accounts. And there's some changes here for, if you've already created an Apple ID with your corporate email. Like, is that a problem that you're
seeing? Yeah, we have this problem here at Mozilla, actually. We have Apple IDs with our Mozilla account since the beginning. And when we started to use Apple Business Manager, was a challenge for us to handle that. And at the same time, we had the same issue, for example, with Google before for our email, and we could take that account and migrate from like a personal account to a corporate account, and user had some time to move their stuff and migrate the account. So that is a gigantic thing, in my opinion, and that will help so many companies to finally be able to use Apple Business Manager with their main email. And I believe it will simplify a lot for employees as well. If their email is like on the top domain, on the main domain for the company, having that as a managed Apple ID is very important. If you could not have it because there was an Apple ID created before, then you would need to have a second, like a variation of your email as your managed Apple ID. So it's one more thing to remember. And that's not the convenience we want. So for me, that was a great thing. It may sound like a small detail, but I believe it's a gigantic improvement.
Now, yeah, this is just like legacy stuff. I mean, if Apple had a lot of this stuff built 15 years ago, like with this managed Apple IDs, we probably wouldn't be in this situation.
Yeah.
But, it's just legacy stuff. The good thing here is Apple is not ignoring the problem. They're kind of giving you a transition here. And again, because I do think that managed Apple accounts over time are going to be more and more important. But on the flip side, they probably won't ever be to a place where like it has to be there. And I think that's one of the things I do appreciate about macOS is you can still use it without an Apple ID. Although it like really encourages you to sign in, like you don't have to. And that's actually a change. I think Windows has gotten almost the opposite of that, where like, I don't know if you've used a Windows computer in recent years, but it almost requires some sort of like Microsoft account when you set up a new computer. And it's almost to the point where you're annoyed with it. Mm-hmm. Now on the, we've seen a lot of changes to software update in probably the past year. We've seen just, the move to declarative device management. We get a lot of, it works better now, I guess is the simplest way to say
it. It's way more effective now.
It's way more effective, way more reliable is what I'm looking for. Now, but obviously like the beta programs that Apple runs are not just in the summer. They run beta programs year round. And I think it's something too where a lot of people kind of talk about like, hey, run the betas in the summer. But, if you're in IT, you should probably be running betas at all times and running different kinds of betas. Now, one of the things that we're seeing this year is you can now enroll managed devices into different beta programs. And it doesn't have to be tied to an Apple ID. What's your thoughts here on this feature?
Yeah, it simplifies a lot. So we had before just the possibility to authorize or not the device to install beta version. And customers that who want to block the team or to do that, they would just block them. But if they wanted to test it, if they want to allow it, or if they want to enable a group of device or a specific department to give it a try, then they would rely on a very manual process that would happen, that would also require admin permissions on the device. So that was not very convenient to install beta on a managed device. And that changes now. That just becomes another MDM configuration that you can enforce and configure remotely with a few clicks, segment in the way you want. You have different levels of configurations there in terms of enforcing or just allowing, and just it. So it becomes as simple as everything else on the MDM. It removes all the friction for the end user. It automates the entire process. It creates a standard where all device that you are electing to be part of this testing group will be running whatever version you decide you want to test. So it creates, I believe, a lot of benefits and simplifies a lot this work that we know IT teams have every year, every time that a new major OS update's coming. It's their job to just go get some device, install, and run probably all the mission critical apps and solutions that the company relies. So it is a very manual process for them, and they go through that every single year. Apple bringing a very automated way to do that, it will save a lot of time for IT folks, and I love it. Those are our customers, our friends, and everything that helps them to save time, for me, is always a reason to celebrate.
So next up on the list, and this is not necessarily a new feature, but a new way to do it. The previous way to do this is being deprecated, but a new way to manage local network drives and external drive access. And again, this is this doesn't affect every industry, but certainly in your more security-focused industries, this is pretty critical, and maybe even less so the network drive and more just the external drive. But with Mac OS 15, it's new way to control this. It's a way much more reliable, and you can even limit it to read-only drives as well. Yeah. Is this something? What's your take on this new way to do this?
So the old profile, the media manage allowed media, I believe that was how that was called. That was really used by customers. So when we learned it was deprecated, of course, we follow and we add on our UI information about that. And we got a lot of tickets and a lot of questions about that, because like any company and yes, maybe more regulated, but today we see a lot of companies in non-regulated industries as well really concerned about their data. Like on the today business, the data, the information you have, it's very, very important for your business, and making sure data was not leaving the device or is not leaving the device it's always a big attention point for our customers. So when that payload was deprecated, there was some complaints and concerns. I have to say that it was still working, even deprecated. So customers were like just keeping it. But we have this big question mark about like what's happening here. We will have a new way to do it. And here is the answer. We have a brand new solution. I believe that sets a base much stronger for additional DLP controls to be built. And maybe that's one of the only group of settings that is still missing on the MDM protocol to tap and cover everything that customers need in terms of compliance on the device, is really have a stronger a set of tools to allow for a proper DLP policy, data loss prevention policy. And I believe that sets the base for this new group of features. And I just can't wait what Apple will bring on top of that in the future.
Yeah, it's, again, this is one of those where you're, not a low-hanging fruit, but it's more of like, hey, let's go back and what kind of technical debt do we have? How can we make this better? How can we make this last for the future? And yeah, this is good stuff. Next up, we have two more things we want to cover. Safari extension management. And again, is Safari like the top browser in the world? No. Does probably every Mac
in the enterprise, or almost a lot of them have other browsers installed, probably. But Safari is still a really great browser, and it does have a robust extension network that, you know, has been building up over the years. And now IT teams can control, you know, when extensions are installed, what extensions are installed, and what websites they can work on. Is this a problem your customers have been seeing with wanting to do, you know, manage these things remotely?
Yeah, so I believe there is a better way to see how important is that. So we do offer Chrome management on Macs as well as part of Mozo. So customers using Mozo, they can configure a lot of different things about Chrome remotely in a very MDM like style, and we have like a lot of configurations for Chrome there. But the number one configuration that's used is to manage extensions. So it really shows how important it is for business to manage extensions on the browser, whatever is the official browser. And not having that possibility on Safari maybe was a concern for those customers. So for me, that was one of the most important things that came. And I do believe customers will adopt that immediately and in a very deep manner. And it will unleash like a lot of also opportunities for applications that are using that they have their own apps on the Mac and they really want to enforce things. So if you get all like the password management tools and everything else, or even web filtering solutions that are running extensions on the browser, having that way to enforce it remotely or even just install it without requiring any user action, it's very critical for a mass adoption, and I believe it's present now. So that's great.
Next up on the list, and it seems small. I mean, I almost like chuckle when I think about it, but we're getting the calculator app on.
That's huge, actually.
Yeah, it's huge. Maybe the headlining tentpole feature. But on the we laugh, but like there is some consideration there for education customers when it comes to standardized testing. And Apple, and it's great that they're doing this like day one, that they're building this these thoughts. And maybe this is what took so long, that they're building the ability to manage the use of like how the calculator works, use of math notes. Math notes is a feature, which it's like an AI type feature. It allows you to write out equation on the screen and have it be answered. But thoughts here, is this something you think your I know you all do a lot of education work. Is this something you think your education customers are going to be excited about?
Yeah. First, I believe like having a calculator app on iPad is just revolutionary. I love it. Like I believe we all had to install calculator apps on our iPads, so I love that there is a native one now. And yes, of course, schools may want or do not want calculator in different moments, depending on the scope, depending on what's being assessed at that time. So giving schools flexibility to decide when and how the calculator will be available to students, and doing that in an easy way and in a way that you can really enforce it broadly, it's very, very important. And it's Apple nailed it. Like it came with the app, and at the same time it came with the related MDM commands, not only to define if that app will be there or not in a binary manner, but also to define like what features inside of that app will be available. So it's great to see Apple really going that deep and thinking about all the side effects and the different ways that customers want to use that app.
Yeah, again, it's like I think the way that's the last feature we wanted to cover. I think the way I would best sum up this year's WWDC for IT teams is Apple is kind of looking backwards in a way of like, okay, what are some things that like we've already built, but we need to make better, smoother. We can add on features. Again, the software update's a good one. Like, okay, software update works much better now than it did a few years ago. But like, okay, how do we like improve it even more? It's like, okay, let's allow remote beta access control and things like that. And one of the things we didn't mention, the beta access control does not require an Apple ID or a managed Apple account to be signed in. Like that happens based on the device. So that's one thing I forgot to mention. But overall, like just a solid year. It's nothing like, hey, this was a feature that every IT person in the world wanted. It's like a lot of features that a lot of IT people wanted. Is that fair to say.
Yeah, and I believe it's common. Like when we manage roadmap for a product and see what we do here for Moz is not even close to compare with what Apple does. Like they have so many different lines of products and they're serving so many markets. But you always have moments of revolutionary features where you introduce the base of like a brand new big feature, and then you need after that year, those years, some time to work on the minors and fill all the gaps and polish it. So I see this year as a lot of smaller but very, very important things that are addressing gaps that existed. And I believe this is adding so much in terms of usability and it's polishing so much the work that was done before. So, yeah, great year.
A year of polish. That's going to be the title of the show. A year of polish. That's good. Again, lots of good stuff. Again, we'll have a link to the WWDC session where you can watch all this. I can't say that three times fast. But we'll have a link where you can watch that. And if you want to learn more about it, Apple does a great job of giving great documentation. Good, exciting stuff. We'll get ready to test all summer, and then it'll be a fun fall. But all right. Well, Alcir, any parting words as we sign off this week?
Yeah, we just released first Monday after the WWDC week. We already started to release access to a lot of those features in beta to our customers. So even if someone who's not a Mozilla customer but want to see some of those upcoming features in action, feel free to come and request an account and give it a try. We always love to bring the upcoming features as quick as possible to our customers in a beta way so they can test, and we already have a bunch of them available. So yeah, I'll welcome everyone and excited with what's coming next.
Well, appreciate it. We'll have a link for that in the show notes if you want to go and try Mozilla, and then you can get kind of experience what it's like to manage the devices, go ahead and start testing. It's a great way to kick off your summer. But again, thanks for everybody for listening this week. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, always appreciate a rating review. If you're in Overcast, Spotify, et cetera, please share it with a friend, and we will see everybody next time.
Great. Thank you.